Welcome back to the deep dive. For, I mean, more than a decade, the standard iPhone, that safe, rectangular $800 phone everyone just sort of defaulted to, has been Apple's foundation.
Their entire financial empire, really. It was predictable, it was profitable.
But that's all changing. According to the deep stack of material we've gone through for you today, we're talking market analysis, supply chain intel, even patent leaks. That whole era is coming to an end.
Right. And our mission today is to really analyze the strategy behind this. The sources are calling it Apple's most radical hardware shift since, what, the iPhone X?
It's a huge deal.
A huge deal. And this isn't just about a redesign. It's about Apple completely restructuring its entire product line for 2026. So we're going to trace the economic reasons that forced this and then dive into the, frankly, impossible engineering they needed to pull it off.
And pull it off by replacing that one standard iPhone with two totally new, highly specialized devices.
And that's the core finding. The standard model is gone. In its place, you get two phones built to sell style and form. First, this impossibly thin iPhone Air.
And second, a foldable phone that might, just might, finally solve the screen crease problem for good.
Mm.
It is a massive pivot away from playing it safe.
A huge risk.
So let's start with the money, the economics. We have to understand why that standard $800 iPhone had to die. Our source material keeps bringing up this concept they call the sandwich effect.
It's basically the idea of the hollowing out of the middle class, but applied directly to, you know, a phone lineup.
And the data is pretty stark, right?
It's crystal clear. By the end of 2025, the whole pricing model had just completely broken down. The high-end stuff, specifically the iPhone 17 Pro Max, was just dominating. It accounted for nearly 45% of all sales.
That's a huge number. And those buyers don't care about price at all.
Not at all. But then you have this other massive group at the very bottom.
Utility buyers.
Exactly. The entry-level iPhone SE 4, it captured a really solid 20% of the market. And these are the people who are just focused on cost. They need a cheap gateway into iMessage and FaceTime.
They just need it to work. They'll take an older chip, a smaller screen, whatever, as long as the bubble is blue.
Precisely. So if you do the math, the Pro Max and the SE together, that's 65% of all sales.
Which means the traditional standard and plus models were left fighting over a shrinking 35% share. They were stuck.
They were completely crushed. And the sources are really definitive on this. The $800 standard phone, it wasn't cheap enough to be a bargain.
For the utility buyer, right.
And it wasn't pro enough. It didn't have the big zoom camera, the fast screen, the, you know, the status symbol design.
It was the safest choice. And because of that, it became the least desirable choice.
So Apple realized they couldn't just throw another minor camera upgrade at this problem. They had to inject a real visual identity into that $800 to $900 price range.
And that's a huge marketing shift.
A massive one. You're no longer selling specs. I mean, the marketing for this new Air model can't be about processing power. That's for the Pro line. Instead, it has to be all about lifestyle, fashion, the actual feel of the device. You're selling form, not function.
Okay, so that brings us to the first insane piece of engineering, the replacement for that standard model. It's codenamed D23, but we all think it's launching as the iPhone Air.
And the goal is singular. It's not about power. It's about portability and looks. And the number that keeps coming up across multiple sources is 5 millimeters thick.
5 millimeters? That sounds impossible. I mean, just the USB-C port alone is almost that thick, isn't it?
It is. 5 millimeters breaks the rules of current smartphone design. You think about a camera module, the battery, a cooling system. All of those things added up are already way more than 5 millimeters.
So let's tackle the biggest problem first. Heat. The A19 chip is going to be powerful, and power means heat. With no room for, like, traditional copper vapor chambers, how do you stop it from melting?
This is where the patent filings get really interesting. It details this. Well, this elegant but very expensive solution. They're basically turning the entire body of the phone into the heat sink.
How?
They're planning to use a multi-layer graphene sheet and bond it directly to the inside of the titanium chassis. Graphene is, you know, a super efficient heat spreader.
It pulls the heat away from the chip.
And the whole titanium shell becomes the radiator, dissipating that heat into the air.
Wait. Graphene. We've been hearing about graphene cooling for years, but isn't it crazy expensive and hard to manufacture at scale? It's always been for, like, niche gaming laptops, not a phone that sells hundreds of millions of units.
That is a fantastic point. And you're right. The scalability, the yield rates, it's a huge cost multiplier. And the sources suggest that's a key reason why this new Air is going to start at a higher price, probably around $899.
So they're baking the cost of the exotic materials right into the price. It's a style premium.
It is. It's expensive, but it's really the only way they can get to that 5mm profile without, you know, the foam becoming a pocket warmer.
So they've solved heat. But to get that thin, they must have had to rethink every single component. The sources mentioned they got rid of the speaker grills. How?
They're using a really specialized audio tech. The rumor is the iPhone Air will use something called piezoelectric actuators. They sit right under the display.
Piezoelectric. That sounds familiar. That's not a normal speaker with a magnet, right?
Not at all. These actuators physically vibrate the screen glass itself to create the sound waves.
Wow. So the screen is the speaker.
The screen is the speaker. And it's a perfect example of design being driven by a constraint.
Right. Because getting rid of the grills doesn't just make it thinner. It removes a major weak point in the frame.
Absolutely. No more holes in the chassis. That means it's way more resistant to water and dust, and the whole structure is stronger. But, and this is important for you to understand, there's a trade-off.
Sound quality.
Sound quality. Piezo sound can be really clear for voices, for the mids and highs. But what about bass? Especially with everyone listening to spatial audio now, are they giving up that deep, punchy sound?
So what do the sources say?
The initial data suggests, yes, there's a little bit of a compromise on the very low end, but Apple seems to be optimizing it for dialogue clarity. Phone calls, podcasts, it's a conscious choice. They're accepting slightly less bass to get that impossible thinness and better durability. It fits the whole form over function strategy.
And speaking of durability, that brings us back to the port. You said a USB-C port needs about 4mm of clearance. In a 5mm phone, there's just no room.
There isn't. And this basically confirms what we've been hearing for years. The iPhone Air will be Apple's first truly portless iPhone. It's not a philosophical choice. It's an engineering necessity.
So it's all in on MagSafe Ultra for charging and data. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to a wire, especially for fast charging?
The new MagSafe Ultra is supposedly designed to handle 65-watt fast charging, which is right up there with high-end wired charging. And crucially, it also does high-speed data.
What kind of speeds are we talking?
Comparable to USB 3.0. It's fast enough for most people who aren't, you know, transferring massive video files every day. It's a clean solution, and it means the phone is now a completely sealed, solid unit.
Okay, that's Project Slim. Wild stuff. Now let's switch gears to the other new phone, the flexible one, Project Flip. Apple has waited a long, long time to get into foldables.
They watched everyone else struggle with durability and the big one, the crease. If the Air's goal was thinness, the Fold's goal has to be perfection.
It has to be. Apple can't release a foldable that feels like a science experiment or one where the main feature, the folding screen, has a giant ugly dent in the middle.
That visible tactile dip is the fatal flaw of every foldable on the market today.
So how do they fix it? This feels like a physics problem. Anything that folds is going to leave some kind of mark.
The breakthrough, apparently developed with Corning, is a totally new material. It's a proprietary hybrid ceramic polymer.
Okay, what does that even mean?
Think of it this way. Current foldables use a soft plastic screen with a super thin layer of flexible glass on top. This new material from Apple, it's like the screen has a smart hinge built right into it.
A smart hinge? Is it activated by heat or something?
It seems to be stress activated. So at room temperature, the ceramic parts of the material make it feel just like normal, rigid iPhone glass. But it has these micropolymer additives that only become flexible right at the point where the hinge applies that folding tension.
Whoa. So it stays perfectly rigid everywhere else, but becomes hyperflexible just along the fold line.
Exactly. Which prevents it from wrinkling or bowing when you open it up. The end result is supposed to be a screen that lays perfectly flat. No dip, no crease you can feel. That's the game changer.
It is, but that's just the screen. The other big problem with foldables is durability, right? Dust getting into that complex hinge?
For sure. Competitors have had huge issues there. Yeah. And the hardware on Apple's hinge sounds, well, it sounds insane.
What have the sources revealed?
The hinge uses over 120 interlocking titanium grade 5 components.
120. My first thought is, that sounds like a nightmare. That's 120 tiny little parts that can fail.
That's the immediate concern, isn't it? But the key is how they all work together to distribute the tension, so there's no single point of strain on that flexible screen. But the real selling point, the reason for all that complexity, is what they call the zero gap design.
Zero gap.
Unlike other hinges that leave a tiny gap or use little brushes to try and sweep dust out, this one creates a true hermetic seal when it's closed.
A completely sealed unit when folded.
Yes, and that allows Project Flip to get a true IP68 rating for both water and fine dust. That is unheard of in the foldable world. If you're going to charge a premium, you can't have it fail because some lint got in your pocket. This hinge makes it feel like a solid block of Apple hardware, whether it's open or closed.
Okay, so this all sounds amazing, but is it real? Or just some wild prototype?
This is where the supply chain intelligence comes in. This is happening. Apple's manufacturing plans for late 2026 confirm it.
What's the smoking gun?
Foxconn. They're actively retooling the assembly lines that used to make the old Standard and Plus models. They're ripping out the old stuff and installing high-precision robotics designed for one thing: flexible display calibration.
So they're literally replacing the capacity for the old phones with capacity for the new ones.
They are. And it's not just Foxconn. LG Display is pouring huge amounts of money into its Gen 8 OLED lines. And they've specifically earmarked that for medium-sized foldable panels.
These are billion-dollar investments.
Multi-billion. You just don't spend that kind of money on a prototype. This is confirmation of mass production for a late 2026 launch.
So the standard $800 phone is dead. And this new lineup, it feels like it's designed to force you into a choice, and probably a more expensive one. Let's walk through that new ladder for 2026.
Why, the psychology of it is fascinating. The bottom is stable. You have the entry level, the $499 iPhone SE, for that pure utility buyer.
Okay, then you skip that old $800 price point completely and jump right into the new style category.
And that's the new iPhone Air, starting around $899. And here, you're not paying a premium for performance. You're paying for the physical design. That 5mm thinness, the exotic materials, you're buying an object.
And then the next step up is into the foldables, the tech category.
Which is the new iPhone Fold, probably starting at $11,199. That's your entry point into the whole flexible screen experience.
And then at the very top, you still have the traditional Pro lineup for the power users, going from what, $1,099 up to $1,599 for the Ultra.
And the genius here is that there's no more safe default option. You, as the customer, you have to pick an identity. Are you cheap? Are you stylish? Are you futuristic? Or are you powerful?
And by getting rid of that middle ground $800 phone, the financial result is pretty obvious.
It's immediate and it's massive. The analysts are projecting this one strategic shift will drive Apple's average selling price, the ASP, up by an expected 15%.
15%, that is a staggering number. That's hundreds of dollars more per phone across hundreds of millions of sales.
And that 15% increase translates directly into billions and billions of dollars in pure profit. For a company like Apple in a mature market, this is a financial lifeline. They're using design innovation to juice their margins.
The sources are pretty clear, though. Killing the standard iPhone is Tim Cook's biggest gamble since the iPhone X. The money is there, but the risk of failure is also huge.
It's a total high-stakes bet on engineering perfection. I mean, think about it. That 5mm Air with its portless design, what if it bends? You've got Bengate 2.0 all over again.
And the Fold with that crazy 120-part hinge? If that starts breaking, Apple's entire reputation for quality hardware could just shatter.
Exactly. But the goal is to inject real desire back into a smartphone market that has gotten, let's be honest, pretty boring.
And everything we've looked at today suggests that's where we're headed. The era of just make the CPU a little faster or adding another camera lens seems to be over. It's all about form factor now. The age of the safe rectangle is done.
Which leaves a really interesting question for you, the listener. If the whole strategy is now to sell form and style, to get you to pay a premium for that beautiful ceramic polymer glass or that impossibly thin design, how does that change what we expect from our phones in the long run? Is this a future where prioritizing fashion over function becomes the very definition of a premium product? That's the big question. That's the pivot we're all about to live through.